Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Megan Cullip, along here with Scott Micklin.
Good morning. It is Thursday, March 25th.
It is.
How about that?
How about that?
Yeah.
Week
54. Week 54.
It'll be
confirmed here shortly, I'm sure, everybody. Yeah. But welcome to our COVID-19 Community Information Program. We were discussing earlier in the week that it was 1 year ago this week that we had our first COVID-19
yeah.
show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy. And back then we were doing the show 4 days a week because there was so much new information coming out.
All the time.
Yeah.
I know. And there's new information today.
There's a lot of new information today. That's true. In fact, we've got some great guests on the schedule for today as well that we want to tell people about, too. So here are our guests coming up. We're going to be talking to Rebecca Morgan in just a moment. And also Matt Bieber is going to be on the phone. And also our other guest.
James Golden.
James Golden is calling in.
Yes.
So we're looking forward to all hearing from all of them. Right?
Yeah, we got all sorts of things.
Food boxes and vaccine rollouts and music. So
what more do you need?
What more do you need? But the big story, I guess, has to be turquoise.
Yeah, big story is right? Definitely turquoise.
San Juan County, congrats to everybody, has achieved turquoise status on the New Mexico COVID-19 map. And so that means a lot of things for a lot of businesses and a lot of people. As we noted on our website, ksje.com, we are now the second largest county in the state by population to achieve turquoise status after Santa Fe County. The other big counties are still in statuses less than turquoise, like Bernalillo, Doña Ana County, where Las Cruces is, Bernalillo, where Albuquerque is. They are not yet at turquoise status. So that's, I think, notable. In fact, they're in yellow status still.
Yeah.
They're still yellow. So the good news is our cases are under control. And
zero new cases, zero new deaths on the Navajo Nation.
For several days in a
huge
row.
Yes.
Earlier this week. That yes. was not the case last night. We'll see that in just a moment, but definitely lower than we have seen. And so that's exciting. And so as you can see on the screen, those of you who are joining us, again, our cases per 100,000 is down to 4, and our test positivity rate is down to 1.31. So again, if you remember not too long ago when we were talking about moving from red to yellow, we had to be lower than 8 per 100,000 or the test positivity rate less than 5.
Yeah.
So much lower, and that's good because we hope we could stay in turquoise forever until this goes away.
Yeah.
So that's the plan. So anyway, congrats to everyone. And it means a lot of different things about reopening, capacity levels now increase for indoor dining, maybe some mass gatherings. We talked last week with Allen Theaters that turquoise would allow them to be able to reopen their theaters
yes.
at some point in the future and still you know, make money because they just couldn't do that under the green level.
Right.
And so we expect to hear from them in the next few days, I would think, of what their plans are maybe in Farmington. They are open in Durango, as we have mentioned last week. The movie theaters have opened in Colorado, but what they will be doing here in San Juan County, we'll be waiting to hear.
Yep.
So there you go. Shall we go to our first guest?
Let's do it.
Okay. On the phone with us this morning. Good morning. You're on KSJE. This must be the one and only Rebecca Morgan.
Good morning, Scott and Megan. It is, but I have my cohort with me, Barbara Sullivan. Hello.
Very good, Rebecca and Barbara. Thank you both for joining us this morning to talk about this event that is coming up soon. And so give us a little bit of an idea of what these are, numerous churches that are kind of coming together, right, for this event.
Yes. The name of the event is the Drive-Through Easter Party. And the reason Hope City wanted to host this event was because we weren't able to celebrate Easter last year. And I feel like it's been a long year of change and heartache, as well as some growth. In order to make this event happen, we partnered with churches in the community, as well as local businesses. We all just want the community to have some fun. And this is a free event to everyone.
Great. And so what is the event? How is it structured? What do we do?
Okay, so the event is on Saturday, March 27th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And it's a drive-through Easter party. So it will be located at Allen 8 Theater. You will enter on the Boys and Girls Club side on 19th Street and exit through Blue Moon. And each child will, 12 and under, will receive an Easter basket. Drivers will get a chance to win a gift card. And we will also have free food boxes for those who are in need. And all of this is while supplies last.
Got you. And this is going to start again at 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. It's Saturday, on Saturday.
Very good. Day after tomorrow. So it's coming up, everybody, March 27th, as you mentioned. So entering from 19th Street there behind the Allen 8 and driving through the parking lot. And I'm sure there'll be signs to direct folks where to go for this drive-through Easter party.
Yes. And the cool thing is that we'll have a DJ there playing family-friendly music. And if people tune in to the FM 103.3, they can hear it in their car, as well as it being live out there, and he can give them directions as well.
So what are the churches who are involved in this? Because this is, I know, like sort of an ecumenical group, so who's involved?
So all the people that are involved, the partners and the sponsors, include Ellen Theaters, Echo Food Bank, Escapology, GB Entertainment, God's Warehouse of Albuquerque, Safety LLC, Uncle Bob's Auto and Truck Repair, First Presbyterian Church, Harvest of Hope Mission Center, Hope City, New Mexico, New Life Farmington, Summit Church, and Timberline Church.
Very good. Well, thank you for joining us with that information, and it sounds like a fun party for Easter this year and a nice safe way to do it.
And before we let you guys go, Rebecca, what is the status of church gathering? It's been a year, I know, where you guys haven't been gathering. So how is that going?
Oh, golly. Well, it's gone interestingly. We have done, as you know, Megan, we've done recorded online for the year. We haven't missed a Sunday. However, this Sunday, Palm and Passion Sunday, we are opening our doors really for the first time in a year and inviting the congregation and anyone who is seeking to worship on Palm Sunday to join us at 10:30 in the morning. We are still taking safety precautions. We're asking people to wear masks, and we'll have masks available if people need them. And we have, we will plan to seat ourselves carefully so that we're following the best practices, CDC guidelines. And we are really looking forward to entering Holy Week together this year.
Very good. Well, and again, the turquoise level kind of helps with some of those capacity limits, even for churches, correct? That changes things for you as well.
That's correct. And, you know, the cool thing about this drive-through party is we'll be out of the Allen Theater parking lot in time for moviegoers to go for a matinee on Saturday. Isn't that cool? Finally.
There you go. Yeah. Very good. Well, it sounds like a great party for Easter that is coming up. And so thank you again for joining us and letting us know about it, and for all the other sponsors and churches who are banding together to make this happen for our community. So thank you.
Thank you. It's been a really fun, the excitement in this place as these little baskets have been put together, and everybody, people were here last night putting, things into the baskets and just being so excited to share this this absolutely joyful time with the kiddos in our community, and to provide food for their families if they need it.
Absolutely. You guys going to have marshmallow peeps? That's
I'll have.
Yeah, come on, it's fun. You can blow them up in the microwave. Anyway, Rebecca Morgan and Barbara Sullivan, thank you so much for joining us.
It's our joy. Thank you.
Thank you both very much for calling in this morning. And there you are, the drive-through Easter party. It's happening on Saturday, day after tomorrow, beginning at 10 a.m. at the Allen 8 Theaters on 20th Street in the parking lot, Saturday, March 27th, while supplies last.
Yeah.
As I said, so there you go. Perfect. So
it's great.
We appreciate that. And we do have the official week 54 of Spring Break 2020. That's yes, where we are.
That's where we're at.
This week, everyone. So, yeah, the longest spring break ever.
Spring break we never returned from.
Very, very true. Very true. So let's talk about some other things that are going on in the community. In fact, today, right now, at the Ngizi Chapter House, they are having a food box giveaway from the Echo Food Bank is out there this morning. It starts at 9. And so that is happening right now, as we mentioned, out at Ngizi. And then this afternoon at First Baptist Church in Bloomfield, they are going to do another food box distribution at 4 p.m. this afternoon. Again, first come, first served. No ID, residency, or income requirements at this event. They're doing dairy, meat, and produce food box distribution today in the Bloomfield area, First Baptist Church in Bloomfield.
That's good.
So.
That's a hot commodity for a food box.
Right, indeed. So let's talk about vaccines.
Yeah.
So our next guest is here to talk a little bit about that. That is Matt Bieber from the New Mexico Department of Health, and the state has expanded the vaccine distribution now to phase 1C. So we're going to hear more about that. Joining us now to talk a little bit about the vaccine rollout in New Mexico and more is Matt Bieber. He is the Director of Communications, with the New Mexico Department of Health. And Matt, good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, nice to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Great to have you with us. And let's get started by talking about the announcement just last week that the state is moving now to phase 1C in the vaccine rollout. And so this includes a lot more folks and seems to be maybe a little bit ahead of schedule. Would you agree?
Well, we're certainly happy that we're at this point where we're able to do it. A part of that is as a result of getting some increased allocations from the federal government, which we've been advocating for. And some of it is as a result of how New Mexico's population is distributed, because there are lots of parts of the state, especially rural areas, where providers were no longer able to find anyone in the currently eligible categories of 1A and early 1B. And so the choice was either ask them to just wait or open up these additional categories so we can keep the momentum moving and build up our statewide immunity. And so that's we'd also hit, by the way, the 60% thresholds for vaccination in the eligible categories. And so those are the thresholds we use to decide when to open up additional categories. So for both of those reasons, we decided to open it up. And now almost all New Mexicans 16 and over are eligible for vaccine.
Yeah, and I believe that New Mexico is still a front runner, right, Matt?
Not only front runner, we're number one consistently. Based on CDC data, we're the fastest state in the country for vaccine administration, and by a good margin above our next closest rival, Alaska.
Oh, all right.
Take that, Alaska.
take that, Alaska. I was wondering, actually, if you could speak to, there's new trials going on for children under 16. Is that something that's hit New Mexico yet? Are we part of those trials?
You know, I'm not aware of any of them occurring here in the state, but obviously whatever happens with those trials will affect New Mexico and every other state eventually. If a vaccine or one or more vaccine is approved for children under 16, that'll be a very good thing for everybody. Because as you know, the goal ultimately is to get to as high a vaccination rate across the state as we possibly can, and children under 16 represent a huge part of our population. So if and when they become eligible for vaccine, that's good for all of us.
Very good. And Matt, I wanted to ask you too, every once in a while we hear from someone maybe who has said, you know, I was part of 1A or 1B and I still haven't gotten my appointment or my notification, and now they're moving on to 1C. If someone feels that they're in that situation, do you have any advice of what they should be doing or what they can do maybe to get on a list somewhere?
Well, if they're on the list, they've done everything they can and should do, and getting on that list is as simple as going to vaccinenm.org and registering. We'll just ask for basic info like your employment info, your age, and your health condition. One thing I really want to stress is that even though 1A, 1B, and 1C are all eligible, we're prioritizing for the folks in the early phases. So that's 1A, that's people 75 years and older, that's people 60 and over with a severe chronic condition, because we know those folks are at greater risk of COVID-related health complications. So I want to be super clear about that, that the way the invitations are going out, they're going out first to people in those groups. And if in a certain place we can't fill an event with people in those categories, then we go ahead and invite people in the subsequent categories. But those folks are still being prioritized. And let me add one more thing about that, and this goes to what we discussed earlier, which is, as I said, in some parts of the state, providers just can't find anybody in those early categories to fill appointments. But there are other places, namely Albuquerque, Santa Fe, and Las Cruces, where there are lots more folks in those earlier categories who are still waiting. So it also depends on where you live.
Very good. And let's talk about phase two, which is the 16 plus category. What's the projection there? It's a, you know, we have our graphics as summer. Does that still seem to be the projected date that that's going to start?
No, we're going to get there sooner than that, all but assuredly. Likely in April, we'll announce eligibility for the rest of New Mexico, which is, as you said, phase two. And that's not a huge group of people. I mean, the total number of people in New Mexico age 16 and over is about 1.68 million. And we think something like 1.5, nearly 1.6 million are already eligible. So it's just a small group of additional people. And keep in mind, these are the, generally speaking, the youngest and healthiest people in the state. And we think we're going to get there probably sometime next month, mid-April, maybe late April.
Very good. And that's encouraging for sure for folks who are waiting patiently for their turn. I want to ask you a bit about the rollout. We mentioned, of course, that we are number one in the country, ahead of Alaska, who is breathing down our neck. But I wanted to ask you, too, about that rollout, because, again, it's really a boots on the ground type of situation, right, to have these folks in all these different communities, large and small, across New Mexico. And we have seen, you know, the state's website where we register, but also some efforts from local drugstores and pharmacists to get the word out to their customers who may not be online, the older folks, 75 plus and things like that, who may not have internet access, to still have access to these vaccines. There's a lot of moving parts to this, right?
A lot of moving parts. And some of the groups you mentioned are the ones that need and deserve and are getting special support. So seniors and other folks who aren't especially comfortable with the internet are able to call in and get registered. And if they need additional accommodations, for example, a ride to the vaccine event or a wheelchair when they get there, then we have two different call centers that can call them back and make those arrangements for them. And then there's, as you say, a range of local community-level organizations that are providing more in-person outreach. We saw this with senior centers in particular that were doing home, door-to-door outreach, asking folks what they need and how they can provide additional support for registration and vaccination. And that includes some of the homebound vaccinations that have occurred throughout the state as well. So, you know, this isn't a one-size-fits-all operation by any stretch. It's much more like assessing what different communities need in order to successfully get registered and vaccinated, and then building supports in partnership with local organizations who can implement those plans.
Yeah, very good. So last night I got a notification on my phone. It just appeared, and it said that there's a way to be notified when there's a potential exposure of COVID-19. So that was new. So do you want to speak to that?
Sure, yes. So this is a new venture that we launched yesterday. It's called NM Notify, New Mexico Notify. This is a technology that's emerged from a partnership with between Apple and Google. So this is their technology, and it's been rolled out in a bunch of other states and several other countries to really promising effect. The basic idea is you sign up, and then everybody else, you know, signs up as well, or as many people as possible sign up. If you get COVID-19, you just let the network know that. And then the network will communicate with anybody that you've been in close contact with over the past 2 weeks. And, you know, it doesn't record any personal data. All it does is, and it's based on really cool Bluetooth technology that anonymizes everything. So, you know, nobody's tracking you or collecting your personal data. All it's doing is measuring where your phone's been and what other phones it's been nearby. And if you've been near another phone owned by somebody who has COVID, well, then you'll get notified and you'll get some instructions on quarantine and isolation and the like. So it's just another way for people to know a little bit more about their own exposure risk. And the really cool upshot of this is that because it alerts people to potential exposures to others who had COVID, it enables them to take precautions right away. In Colorado, our neighbor to the north, they've implemented this for a couple of months now. They think they've avoided nearly 200,000 COVID cases merely because people got quick notifications that they'd been exposed and could immediately take precautions to protect themselves and not expose others.
Very interesting. And this is something, I guess, too, that certainly would have been helpful earlier on, but the technology just wasn't developed until recently, Matt. Is that, or rolled out until recently? Is that the reason that's just coming out now?
Well, you know, we've been doing a lot, juggling a lot of priorities. And, you know, this has been in the works for several months internally, but we wanted to just make sure that not only was the technology adapted and ready to go for us here in New Mexico, but also that we were ready to communicate it about it in a clear way and reassure folks that they weren't going to be surveilled or tracked. You know, we got to that point where we were ready to add it to the toolkit, and we did so. And that's a way to think about it, right? So we have this ever-growing set of tools to protect ourselves and our communities and our families from COVID. And that's vaccinations now, obviously. That's testing. That's the contact tracing the state's been doing. And now it's this neat little tool that anybody with a mobile phone can carry around with them in their pocket. You don't even need to think about it. You just download the app, activate it, and then if you happen to get exposed to COVID, get a notification, and you can take the appropriate next step. So it's just an addition to that toolkit.
Understood. And this goes back to, I think, kind of the asymptomatic COVID patient that we hear a lot about that certainly could be spreading the infection but not feeling that they're sick. And so they are unwittingly, you know, still carrying on their normal routines. And obviously this would notify that person of a possible exposure, right? Or maybe another person who's been exposed to an asymptomatic person, as you mentioned, then to be able to take precautions, go get a test to confirm or deny or whatever the situation may be. That's what all this is about, right?
You got it. Yeah, that's one of the things that's been a challenge about COVID-19 is that, you know, you can get it and experience really severe symptoms and even worse. Or you can get it and never know about it. There's this giant range of potential experiences that people can have. And so understandably, people have asked questions about, you know, how seriously should I take it and what's the appropriate behavior and protocol and COVID-safe practices that I should be abiding by. As you said, you know, asymptomatic carriers are a meaningful portion of the overall carriers. And so this is another way for them to equip themselves with information that lets them make healthy decisions for themselves and their families.
Very good. Well, Matt Beaver, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We really appreciate all your time and information.
Yeah, as always, it's really nice to talk with the both of you. Thanks for doing all this work to get information out to your community.
Thank you very much. That's Matt Beaver from the New Mexico Department of Health. He's the communications director with the department, and lots of good information about the next rollout for the vaccines to get more folks vaccinated, of course, and maybe get it open to everybody, as he said, by next month.
Yep.
So
that would be amazing.
And that's
ahead of schedule.
Yeah. And April is next week already.
Ooh.
That is next week.
You're,
yeah. Yeah.
You're
so
totally
there you go.
Right.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
We've got to get on those.
I'm
going to
record that and play
Jeez.
That back in a loop.
Yeah.
I like that. VaccineNM.org is, again, the website to get registered if you have not already, because, again, things are moving forward. So if you're a group that's maybe not being offered the vaccine yet, I would still get registered so that as soon as that opens up, you're on the list,
yeah.
as he said. And then again, the phone number, if you need help to register on that website, 855-600-3453, option 0 for vaccine questions, and option 4 for tech support. If you don't have internet access for our radio audience, this is another way to get registered, 855-600-3453. So
very good.
Make sure everybody gets that information and has that, so to get registered. The numbers are here from Johns Hopkins. They've been tracking them now for these 54 weeks as well as we have.
As we have as well.
Yes.
Well, we've tracked them tracking them.
We track them that's right, yeah.
Yeah. So The United States confirmed cases are now at 30,012,351. The United States confirmed deaths are at 545,317.
There you go. And again, we kind of keep an eye on that little chart in the lower right, the graph of that graphic that we have been showing now every time. And there's a little bit of an uptick at the very end there, but things have kind of plateaued out. And that's concerning for some folks because I kind of want to see those numbers continue to go down. But we're right. Certainly less than we were at the peak back in December,
yeah.
As we've seen that. But I know folks are watching what's going on in Europe. There's some extra cases over there, increasing cases over there.
The English strand.
Yeah. And so UK, Europe, some of these places, we really need to keep an eye on things. So,
variants, yep.
Right. And as you can see, too, after the United States, Brazil has the second largest numbers of cases, 12 million. And then India and Russia, and it goes down from there. So there you are. In New Mexico, 218 new cases reported yesterday for a total now of 190,275. San Juan County had 6 new cases yesterday for our total now 13,661. There were 6 additional deaths in New Mexico yesterday for 3,909, and 3 of those, half of those, were in San Juan County for 458 now. But as Megan mentioned, there have been days recently when we've had 0 new cases, 0 deaths in San Juan County, 0 new cases and deaths on the Navajo Nation as well. So that's certainly worth celebrating when that happens.
Yeah.
So that's been great to see as well. And the number of recoveries increased by 30 yesterday for a total of 172,954. And then as you can see on our website, the news stories that we are following, the turquoise story, which was big news yesterday, of course, when the map came out about 1:30 in the afternoon, the New Mexico daily statistics that we always put on our website so you can dig deeper into those numbers and see kind of other places where cases are on the rise, other zip codes that have a high number of cases and things like that. And then, of course, the Navajo Nation. And so for their numbers yesterday, they had 10 additional cases after a couple of days in a row of 0 new cases and new deaths. And a total of 30,021 cases, and then 2 additional deaths from the Navajo Nation yesterday, 1,235 on the Navajo Nation.
Okay.
So that's where they stand there. So there you go. So shall we go to our third guest?
Our third and final guest.
We could do that. All right. Music. Talk a little bit about music.
Let's talk music.
All right. Here we go. Joining us now, James Golden is on the phone to talk a little bit about his job as Director of Choral Activities at Piedra Vista High School. And James, good morning. Thanks for calling in this morning.
Good morning, Scott. Thank you.
You bet. Great to have you on the program. And I know we wanted to talk a little bit about some of the things as schools, some face-to-face learning resumes at PV. And so let's get started.
Well, let's start with what was it like to teach choir virtually? That was lasting for a year or so. So I think I caught you a few times banging your head on your desk, but tell us about that experience.
There were many, many times banging my head on the desk. You know, teaching choir online, it was probably the most difficult thing I've ever done. There's not a way to make it completely equitable for the entire students. You know, that sense of ensemble and working together and the teamwork and all those things that come along with being in a performing art, we just didn't get it. It was completely gone for an entire year now, which is really pretty sad.
Right. Obviously. Interesting. And so with that being said, of course, band is different than choir. And so just by the nature of choir, that was, I guess, why some of the more restrictions were put on folks in your line of work than your colleagues, correct?
Well, band and choir actually have both been, quote unquote, prohibited by the New Mexico Public Education Department since pretty early on in the pandemic. You know, even when students were allowed back in the building, wind instrument playing and any singing was completely prohibited, which of course made our jobs really difficult when you have some students in class, some students online, and you're trying to concurrently instruct those students at the same time, but they aren't able to do the same thing. Not to mention that, you know, when you have an ensemble worth of students on Zoom, we can't hear them sing. there is no platform that really allows us to listen to all the students together like we are used to.
Right, right. Yeah, for sure. And I mean, music is so important to people's health and well-being, particularly kids who, you know, are talented in that way or have a real passion for that. Did you think that at least having some connection and to you as a caring adult was helpful to their mental health during this pandemic?
Yes and no. I mean, yeah, we have those students who, just like us as music teachers, it's our passion, you know, and not getting to do that with your students, it has been completely devastating. And a lot of those students, even though we're meeting on Zoom, we're working on music together, trying to keep them engaged and motivated, there's just something really, really isolating about being on Zoom, having to stay muted and singing by yourself in your bedroom or wherever the student is at home, you know. They don't get any of those feelings of fulfillment or whatever it is, you know. So a lot of our music students, their mental health and things have really taken a hit this year, just because of the fact that they have not been able to get to do what they really, really love to do.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. That's almost, you know, sadder to think about singing alone in your room. So in-person learning is resuming. We just talked to Tim Kienitz this morning about last week, right? This is a pre-record. What's that going to look like? Are there still restrictions? Are you singing in masks? What's happening?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, as a music community, we've all been pretty frustrated with the public education department. It's been very difficult for us to see. And, you know, it's the age-old conflict, I guess you could say, for lack of a better term, of sports and fine arts. You know, there's always that conflict going on between who gets what student, I have practice, I have a concert, whatever, you know. And as music teachers, us getting to see that sports are resuming, they can go tackle each other on the football field, they can go wrestle, they can do all of these like full contact things. And yet at this point, we still hadn't had any clarification from public education department. We were still forbidden to sing in school. And, you know, there's been these huge, huge studies done in the United States, the NFHS study on aerosols and like some actual hard scientific data that shows we can do it safely. And we were just really frustrated because public education department made us feel like they weren't taking any of that data into consideration. We were not getting anything, you know. At the latest update from PED, we are now allowed to sing and play wind instruments at school, but it is strictly outside, masked with special masks, and 9 feet apart between each student, which as a singing ensemble, you know, that makes it really difficult because one of the biggest parts of being in a choral ensemble is listening. And especially when you're masked and 9 feet apart, it just makes it even more difficult. But the caveat to that, we're very thankful that we have been given some opportunity to make some sort of music again, you know, weather permitting, that it's nice outside.
Sure. And things, hopefully it'll be warming up though. So I would assume that maybe there'll be more opportunities to do that together safely. And so give us an idea, Mr. Golda, of how this is going to look between now and maybe the end of the school year. Are you hopeful that there'll be more restrictions eased and you'll be able to gather more with more of your students to be able to sing and maybe even, God forbid, perform at some point in front of an audience?
Yeah, you know, it really has been like a roller coaster of emotions this entire year. We're always hoping for something, and then it might get dashed against the rocks, you know. Ugh, we didn't get what we were hoping for. We're still stuck at whatever, and then we continue to hope for something else. You know, we're hoping for concerts, we're hoping for competitions, but all these things are just completely canceled because singing is such a dangerous activity, apparently. But, you know, as we watched restrictions kind of be loosened for the athletic side, we are hopeful that, you know, this is our first step towards some sort of normalcy in our programs, which is ultimately what we want. You know, we, as music teachers, we have really tried to push this year, reminding everybody that, you know, our classes are co-curricular. Our classes happen during the school day. We have state-approved curriculum that we have to be teaching as well through this performance ensemble. We do function in an extracurricular sort of way. However, our classes really are co-curricular. So we're continuing to push, continuing to advocate for our programs, for the importance of music in schools, just so, you know, the people at the state level can continue to hopefully get us back to some sense of normalcy so we can begin to rebuild our programs. This pandemic has just been completely devastating to our programs, you know. And I think about if I was in high school, I don't think I would necessarily want to take band or choir online, because that's not why I'm in the class. I'm there to perform with my peers and things like that. So they've really missed out on an opportunity this year.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Well, James, thanks for all of your resilience as well. That's a word that we've thrown around a lot this past year. But thank you for all that you're doing for your students. I know that even just one caring adult can help out many kids during this time. And
That's right. And
so thanks for coming on. I look forward to in-person concerts. I've heard some of your students' work, and it's pretty amazing stuff. So let's hope.
Yep, I can't wait.
All right. Very good. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you all.
That is James Golden. We appreciate him being with us this morning on our COVID-19 Community Information Program here on KSJE.
Packed show.
Yeah. Busy show. Mm-hmm. Lots of great guests, too. How about that? Just so we'll wrap up with some information about tests, because, again, those are still ongoing out at McGee Park. So we share that information every week, 8 to 3, Monday through Friday, 8 to 2 on Saturdays at the McGee Park at Seminole County Fairgrounds. Again, you can register online, curative.com.
Or call 1-888-702-9042.
Right. And that's how you can register.
Yes.
And get out there to get tested. But that is continuing. And again, that, I think, brings us to a close of our program this week, week 54.
Week 54. Stick around for week 55. We'll have another great show for
you. That's right. Next Thursday, everybody. So thank you for joining us. And again, we appreciate you being with us, sharing the program from Facebook or Twitter or YouTube with your friends and family. And we will see you next week. Bye-bye. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.